AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday, January 7th. Good to be with you today. Matt, Brett, you have a good weekend this weekend?
Yeah, I did. How about you?
Because it was just too nice out. I mean, your window to take down the Christmas lights outside was either on Saturday or it was going to be March. So we, even though, and I got to tell you the truth, I really kind of wish I hadn't. I mean, I enjoy the Christmas lights outside on my house really till about mid-January or so. It's always nice. But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, it's 50 degrees out here. You know, when am I going to get another window to get these things down close to this temperature?
Probably about 2 weeks.
Well, probably the way things are going.
Global warming.
Yeah, Thursday. I mean, yeah. You're good point. I did take them down. The house is now Christmas free. Although I did have it was nice to go around. We saw a few Christmas, remnants of Christmas over the weekend, which was kind of nice too.
I deleted your Christmas playlist already for bumper music. Yeah, so we're not doing that.
No, I don't. Christmas music now is, that's like, that's like candy corn at this time of the year. It's, whoa, yeah, that's not right. That doesn't taste good. I was at church on yesterday. And funny story, if you can't see the parallels between Herod saying he was going to, by the way, religious content, you do or don't do whatever it is you want, do or don't want to do, I'm Catholic. The interesting parallel between Herod saying, hey, let's kill Jesus, so Joseph, Mary, and Jesus run for their lives out of Bethlehem as refugees, fleeing Herod's reign. And can you only imagine if they got to their wall and there was someone like Donald Trump or his supporters screaming, drug dealer, rapist, terrorist. And it was funny because this weekend I got into it a little bit with some trolls who were making the argument of, if Jesus came to our border, we'd let them in. I was like, what are you talking about? He was a dark-skinned Middle Eastern kid. You know, you wouldn't have let him in. No way. You're divine, but the rest of them, tear gas him. Come on. No, I did go to church this weekend, and as I was listening to that great story, I was looking around, and there was some nice Christmas there still, which is, I mean, if you're going to have it, the church, I mean, it's kind of their gig, they're not shy about it. if in case you have missed it, it's out there. They don't hide it. So, 952-946-6205. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, we are going to be talking with Alicia Donahue. She is the on the board of directors, vice chair of Women's March Minnesota. She's going to be joining us. Talk about, because I think one of the things that's interesting is when you have a movement like that, one of the things that happens is either it dies off fairly quickly or they basically are able to manipulate themselves, work themselves as a viable voice, past one or two specific things. And we're going to talk about, because I think Women's March, not only here in Minnesota, but nationally, has done a pretty good job. I think some of these movements that came out of the last few years, Black Lives Matter, I think has done that they have done better. They've been able to hold on as well. I think you get these movements that kind of move, they're able to evolve past an individual cause which started them up and become something much more larger, and they're able to do that. We'll talk to her, Alicia, coming up here in a little bit about that. But it is once again a lovely day here in Minnesota, because if you didn't see the pictures of the swearing-in ceremony of Governor Walz, one of the best parts about that was the image behind him of Keith Ellison and Steve Simon and Julie Blaha and Flanagan. I didn't see her in the picture, but clearly she was there. I'm presuming she was. it's the gig. But they're all getting sworn in. It's like, once again, thank you very much, Minnesota. Democrats remain in charge. And I keep telling people across the country, it's like my House rep is Ilhan Omar, my two senators are Tina Smith and Amy Klobuchar, my governor is Tim Walz, Peggy Flanagan's my lieutenant governor, Keith Ellison, Steve Simon, Julie Blaha, they're my state officers. We're doing it right here. Cheryl Uakim is my House rep, Ron Latz is my senator. I'm doing it right. Don't look at me. I'm doing my part here, people. I voted for Hillary Clinton, so did Minnesota. So thank you very much. We're doing it right here. As he was sworn in on Monday, Minnesota's 41st governor, Tim Walz, doubled down on his promises to improve education, health care, and the state's infrastructure. At his inaugural ceremony at the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul, the former Democratic congressman from Mankato reiterated vows that won over Minnesotans this election season, emphasized his vision of one Minnesota. He campaigned on the message, highlighting goals of governing in an inclusive way, bridging the urban-rural divide, and making sure all the Minnesotans thrive. We find ourselves at a time when economic, social, racial, and geographic division feels rampant. I will not normalize behavior that seeks to deepen and exploit those divides. Amen, sir. God, I'm glad you're our governor. I will not normalize policies which are not normal, ones that undermine our decency and respect. If Washington won't lead, Minnesota will. Yeah! Yay! Tim Walz, Tim Walz. Four more years. By the way, we do have an election we're going to have to talk about at some point here. I didn't think we were going to be bringing Democrat of the Day back before too long, but we got a Senate race up there in the north on the Iron Range.
Oh, we do. Okay.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Is this a pickup opportunity to flip?
No, it's a D seat. That's when the senator's gone down to work for the
government. Yeah, my hopes up for a second.
No, it's... you wouldn't be hearing the Republican dump trucks of money pouring into that district. Four more years. I the speech just won it over for me. Did Kurt Dowd show up this time? I don't know if he did. Because remember last time he was busy with a big meeting. He had a fundraiser luncheon he couldn't get out of at the governor's swearing-in ceremony. He couldn't be there. He couldn't because it was a luncheon for a fundraiser for Republicans. He couldn't be there last time. Did Kurtie show up this time?
Wasn't he at the Bahamas for some important meeting at one point?
When he was supposed to be negotiating. That was later on. He was supposed to be negotiating bills. with the Cabana Boys. Yeah, that's right. Getting Mai Tais. There you go. Having a great time down there. Policy time. I think wasn't that Alec? Was that an Alec excursion?
Well, that definitely. Unless the Mormon Tabernacle. No,
and the meatball buffet. Oh, my God. Those Alec junkets are delightful. Frozen cheesecake on a stick. Who can beat that, man? Anyway, Minnesota's Monday ceremony also included the swearing in the state constitutional officers, who are all Democrats. Keith Ellison is the next attorney general. Julie Blaha becomes the new state auditor. Steve Simon will continue to serve as secretary of state. Peggy Flanagan is also sworn in as Walz's lieutenant governor. Walz expects to build 8 years of Democratic leadership into governor's office. Outgoing governor Mark Dayton is leaving office on Monday after 2 terms, capping more than 40-year political career early in his inauguration speech. Walz thanked Dayton. I believe when history tells Mark's story, his lasting legacy will be that he put people first above politics before himself, and he left us with a better Minnesota. We are all grateful. Absolutely. And you've heard me say this a bunch of times. Thank God for Governor Mark Dayton. Governor Dayton, when you look at what's going on in Wisconsin, when you look at it, and reminder, when he took office, he took office with a Republican majority in the House and the Senate. If he would not have won, can you imagine the craziness that this state would have endured? But Mark Dayton went out there, and God, time after time. I mean, sure. Hey, Republicans, you got one in on him when you did that ice bucket challenge photo. Ha, 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 funny. He spent the rest of his time spanking you guys publicly. Because you guys are going out there with your rhetoric. And my personal favorite was when he put the budget on the Capitol steps and put the highlighter on there and said, you tell me where I can cut. You point to where the cuts are. Because he called out the Republicans, and not one Republican went up there to say, oh, okay, here. Because they didn't remember that. At that point, they didn't want to tell him what cuts they wanted to make. They just wanted to say, there's big government, we can make cuts. And so Dayton called him on and saying, here's the budget. You start telling me where the cuts are going to happen. And every single Republican cowered away from him. Time and time again, he outmaneuvered the Republicans and Kurt Dowd. And time and time again, he did make Minnesota better for Minnesotans. He did put this state above his own personal interests. When I was listening to Walz's speech today, the first thing that crossed my mind is if this was a Republican speech, the only topic would be, Tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. Tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. Tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. Better Minnesota. And that's what they would be seeing. That's all the Republicans do. And it's not tax cuts for you or me, for God's sakes, no. If you don't make $1 million a year, they don't care about you. They don't care about you. They have been, since 1980, shoveling every tax dollar they can into the bank accounts of the wealthy. And they will not give you your money back. For God's sakes, they're so committed to this. The Republicans are so committed to this, giving every tax dollar they can to the wealthy. They're running a massive deficit so that they can continue to do this at irresponsible levels. At no point will they ever give you your money back. Because if they ever do wake up from this delusional drunk stupor of handing away as much of the taxpayer dollars as they can to the wealthy, they're going to have to realize they got to pay down the deficit. But that's all the Republicans are for. Tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. Not for you or me, but for the billionaires and the millionaires. Tim Walz is out there talking about education and infrastructure. He's talking about health care. We've had Governor Dayton for 8 years working for the betterment of all Minnesotans. Thank God the Democrats are in charge in Minnesota. Thank God. Former high school history teacher Walz invoked the message of past governors throughout his speech. He noted the state has faced seemingly insurmountable challenges before and overcame them. He noted that some of the current challenges facing the state include a shortage of affordable housing, the need to deliver more affordable and effective health care, and racial and geographic disparities in education and economic opportunities. Minnesota needs to invest in research institutions to improve healthcare outcomes, Walz said. He also listed a number of other investments and priorities he plans to tackle, investing in our infrastructure, increasing access to quality housing, expanding options for affordable childcare, protecting the right to collectively bargain for a pathway to the middle class, and giving local leaders the tools they need to succeed. Walz has selected all but one of his commissioners who will lead, and by the way, fingers crossed I get the last one! No, not. I suggested I would be the commissioner of getting down all over town, but they did not call and return my calls. I don't know why. Other priorities to tackle. Basically, his state agencies will help enact his ambitious agenda. The administration will work with a newly divided legislature, which will be sworn in on Tuesday. His biggest hurdle will be getting a buy-in from the state Senate, where Republicans have a two-seat majority. Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka has already voiced a concern with some of Walz's campaign trail priorities, including raising the gas tax. In the House, Democrats have taken the majority, and becoming incoming House Speaker Melissa Hortman said she sees little difference in what House Democrats want to accomplish in Walz's goals. We ran on a set of issues, we ran on a set of issues. They're almost perfectly aligned. I'm sure there'll be bumps in the road. I'm sure there'll be some things we'll see as high priority, what we see as less high priority, but not clear to me where the inevitable conflict will arise. So, after the inauguration, Walz plans to hold a public reception in the state capitol at 4 p.m. Did we get invites to that?
I didn't.
Where's Hunter? Damn it.
I think he got 4 invitations and you just took them all.
Tim Hunter.
It's supposed to be for you, man. Doug Hunter. He took all 4.
Yeah, me and Padgett and you are stuck here today, and Hunter's over, rubbing elbows. They have a ton of inauguration ceremonies planned across the state over the next week, including parties in Duluth, Mankato, Minneapolis, and in Moorhead. Congratulations. Governor Walz, I'm glad you're on board. Thank you very much here. Paul Gazelka, let me ask you this. How are you going to fix the roads? How are you going to fix the bridges? I'm tired of your Republican crap way of dealing with transportation, which is fix a few roads in your own district, but screw the rest of the state. Raise the gas tax. Let's get these dang things fixed. Because I can tell you right now, under the Republican policy, we are going backwards. Under Republican policies, we go forward with the Democrats. I look forward to another phenomenal 4 years at least, hopefully longer, with Governor Walz, where we continue to be number one on so many lists, it's not even funny. Amen. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. I got the creepiest election official you'll ever hear about. That's coming up in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul is one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the entire country. They offer a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts for personal and business tax needs. This year especially, changes to the tax code make it even more important for you to have someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Moe's has been in the business since 1971. Visit them at MoesTax.com. That's MoehsTax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at MortgageTalkShow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Yay, you survived the holidays. Now what about cleaning up that holiday mess? My friends, it's time you learn my holiday hangover secret. It's Zero Res. Fortunately for you, right now is the best time of the year to call Zero Res. Get 3 rooms clean starting at just $119. And this month only get a hallway clean for free with their 3-room special. Call 952-ZERO-RES or book online anytime at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. Zero Res.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hey, by the way, you can sponsor AM 950. We love it when you sponsor us. If you'd like to sponsor the radio station, just give us a call at 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. Todd Collett is a sponsor of us. He is, of course, a guy that was here. Todd was in Minnesota. He moved to Spain. I don't begrudge you at all, sir. At all. In beautiful Spain. Phenomenal food, by the way, and great wines. Oh my God, the wines over there are sensational. He's living the good life right now as he's out there. He's also playing in a band, Just Folk, and they've got a new album out. Of course, Beacon of Light is the sixth single from their final concept album in their tetralogy entitled Grounded, recorded in Spain and Barcelona in Ibiza, Spain, St. Paul, Helena, Montana. That's eclectic. Music produced by Stephen Gores, words and music by Todd Collett, sound engineering by Eric Nagel and Paco Fernandez as well. They are got the video out. I'll put the video up from YouTube tonight on the social media sites. You can go see that. Once again, the single is Beacon of Light. The album is Grounded. You can get it at CD Baby. You can also get it as well. You can click on the link on the YouTube page. Thanks, Todd. We do appreciate it. If you'd like to sponsor the radio station, once again, 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. All right, then. Let's go creepy. The Fairmont Sentinel. Story titled, Election Official Facing Felony Count. Okay. This is out of Martin County. David Joseph Bulfer, B-U-L-F-E-R, Bulfer, 62, has been charged with neglect of duty as an election official, which carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. According to the complaint, on August 17th, the Martin County Sheriff's Office received a formal written complaint and a statement from a 58-year-old woman concerning an incident that occurred August 14th while voting at a polling location in Rolling Green Township. The woman indicated she went to the table to check in with an election judge who asked for the first three letters of her name. The man then proceeded to pull up her information on his computer and asked if it was her. She confirmed it was. At that time, another election judge, Bulfer, leaned over between the woman and the other man and stated, "Ooh, let's see. What's her height? What's her weight? What's her bust size?" Now, mind you, this is once again a 62-year-old man addressing a 50-year-old woman. The woman said she looked at Bulfer as he stood and proceeded to make more inappropriate comments. She then stated firmly to Bulfer, "We don't talk that way." The woman indicated Bulfer, then proceeded to hold both his hands up with palms out, wiggling his fingers and talking about the size of his hands and laughing. The woman proceeded to vote and then left the building. She indicated she told her husband, who was with her at the time, that what Bulfer had done was clearly sexual harassment and she was going to report Bulfer. The woman indicated she spoke with the Martin County attorney, a Martin County auditor treasurer, and provided him with information regarding the incident. She advised that she felt humiliated, embarrassed, and demeaned. She also indicated her husband stated that night he received a phone call from Bulfer apologizing to him. The deputy spoke with the husband, who confirmed the woman's statements about the incident. The husband indicated they would probably vote at a different place in the future. You think? What are you doing, man? What are you doing? Oh, for God's sakes. By the way, I'll probably vote at a different place in the future, that would probably be early absentee ballot by mail or in person at the Martin County Courthouse. That would probably be the only options that they have there. Looks like Rich in Lakeville. Is that correct there?
Yeah, it's in like 4.5.
it's in Jupiter-sized print. All right, let's go to Rich in Lakeville. Rich, welcome on in.
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
All right, sir.
Hey, I got a great idea how we could end the shutdown from Trump. Is just tell him the Secret Service isn't going to get paid anymore, or else if the Democrats said they wouldn't get his tax return, he'd fold like a house of cards in a second.
Well, I don't want to think we want to give up the tax returns. I will say this. If you did say the guy that delivers your bedtime cheeseburger is not going to get paid, I wonder if he would. I wonder if he quickly, whoa, I didn't realize that was part of the team.
I agree. That goofball. But I agree. I want the Democrats so much to get the tax returns. I don't want to hear about impeachment at all. I just want to get those tax returns and Mueller's report. Then they can make a decision if there's something there.
Thank you very much, Rich. I appreciate the phone call. You know, for me, I have said, and I said this the last few times, I think that if you are a Democrat and you are waiting for that aha moment, I don't know if it's going to come. And the reason why is I honestly do just think that there's going to be enough Republican senators in the Senate that even if the guy gunned down a Girl Scout in front of them, they'd make an argument and go, well, maybe the Girl Scout deserved it. And then they just kind of shrug their shoulders and move away. Because for them, their argument is that they would rather, this is the ship they've decided to sail on. That's what they've wanted. That this is where they want to be. And so it's unfortunate that this is where we're at, but I just don't know if you're going to, I think it's going to get through the Senate, or the House, rather. I just don't think the Senate will vote to impeach him. And, so at the end of the day, the main thing I think you can look at is his legacy. I mean, my hope is that things get so bad for him that he leaves the country. Think about that. I want you to think about that. A former president where things are so bad for him back in the United States, he lives in Saudi Arabia, or he lives in Russia, or he lives in the Philippines, because those are the only places that will tolerate him and promise him that they won't, extradite him back to the United States. So, this government shutdown, this is one of the dumbest damn things I've ever seen. And really the question now becomes, how in the world are the Republicans in the Senate going along with this with such aplomb? I mean, how are you so going along with this? I mean, you could easily pass a bill to get the spending back open and going, and yeah, I think you definitely could. Just they've decided that this is the hill they're going to die on, and I just don't understand it. Let's go to Larry in St. Paul. Larry, let's get your call in here before the break. Welcome on in.
Yeah, no matter what your stand on the impeachment, I don't think it matters whether or not the Republicans would convict. I just want to see them forced into a court case in the Senate.
You're right. And I mean, like I said, I mean, they're at that point, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. I mean, if they do throw them out of office, they throw them out of office. If not, they basically have just handed the Senate back to the Democrats.
Yep.
And
I'm looking forward to it.
And I can tell you this, and thank you very much. I appreciate it, Larry. I can tell you this right now, without a doubt in my mind, if the Senate does go back to the Democrats in 2020, you think the investigations of Trump are going to be over? Let me tell you something. This is going to be one of those cautionary tales they tell business people, especially incompetent business people, who basically might have some, you know, popularity. And I'm kind of looking at you, Donnie Deutsch. But you got Elon Musk or you know, Mark Cuban. I'm looking at you guys. Don't ever run for president, because you know what? At the end of the day, you might win. And if you win, well, things are going to go pretty bad for you. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. When I do come on back, I've got two stories here from Minnesota here that, okay, we need to stand up to corporations, people, because they do not have our best interests in mind. I'll explain that in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Considering replacing your vacuum? What do you do with the old one? Throw it in the garage? Worse yet, throw it in the garbage? How about trade it in and save? A1 Vacuum in Roseville has been around forever, and they take trade-ins. When you trade in your old vacuum, you save. So if it's time to replace that old clunker headed for the garage or landfill, bring it in to A1 Vacuum in Roseville. You can find A1 Vacuum at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
People love the warmth, charm, and great food at Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Tonight, try their Vittles, Vino, and Beer, a full slab of baby back ribs grilled over mesquite charcoal, juicy jerk chicken with Caribbean beans and rice, grilled plank salmon, and their famous shrimp and grits. Try a Milton's ribeye or the portobello mushroom and end your night with carrot cake, bananas foster, or rum cake. The perfect meal for a date or a casual get-together, that's Vittles, Vino, and Beer at Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week, Victor's 1959 Cafe. I was over there this weekend, had a great breakfast there. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. Fantastic Cuban food. Seriously, just go try it. If you've not had Cuban food, it is just amazingly delicious. 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. It is Victor's 1959 Cafe, the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Coming up in a little bit here, Alicia Donahue from Women's March Minnesota is going to be talking about how the organization is doing, upcoming events, and some of the big sponsors they've been getting. We'll talk to her about that. But I want to talk about two, for lack of a better way to say it, corporate arm twisting, where they're trying to basically get Minnesotans to sacrifice what we've got so that they don't have to do what they want to do cleanly. And the first story comes from Bluestem Prairie. This is a company called True Shrimp, T-R-U with the line over it, shrimp. And apparently these people, they dig out and build shrimp pot pools, for lack of, and they grow shrimp locally. And Laverne, Minnesota lost out to Madison, South Dakota for the location of a True Shrimp first production facility. And the business is dismissing the Minnesota water quality standard as the really obscure technicality in the water effluent realm, which caused the company to head to South Dakota. Now, first of all, let me give the abridged version of this whole thing. True Shrimp was thinking about building in Laverne, but there was a huge full court press put on by South Dakota to get them to move over there, including some pretty substantial tax refunds, $6.5 million in low-interest loans. They also were golf outings in Pier, invites to the Buffalo Roundup in Custer State Park, visits to a research plant in southwestern Minnesota, and multiple pitches to try to sell the benefits of running a business in South Dakota. Good luck. Anywho, they kicked in money, $6.5 million in low-interest loans to help True Shrimp in Madison, South Dakota. The reason they're saying that they don't want to move here is because they say the wastewater standards for Minnesota are too restrictive. Now, it has to do with this thing that it's basically has to do with the water quality when it comes out, having to do with the conductivity of electricity, which actually, and a lot of it has to do with the salt. And once again, if you're raising shrimp, funny story, I don't think, are there any freshwater shrimp? I mean, I know they're crawdaddies and stuff like that, but I don't think that shrimp are a saltwater creature. And so I'm presuming these holding pens that they're growing the shrimp in are saltwater like the ocean. They create a brine-like existence, and that's where they grow the shrimp. That would make sense to me. But they've got this thing, and there's wastewater that comes with it. And because the wastewater seems to be, and once again, I'm from what I've read on this, this is basically I'm kind of giving you the dumbed down version of what the problem is here. The wastewater has too much salt in it, and so it does not meet Minnesota's wastewater standards as far as, in this case, the conductivity of electricity, because there's too many salt particles in there. The salt particles, by the way, and this, it's not about conducting electricity. It's about pouring something which is toxic into our water system, and the high elevations of salt in wastewater has a tendency of killing off lots of things, and so you don't want to have that. But of course, politicians are like, these restrictive regulations. Okay, from the bottom of my heart, go. Seriously, are you trying to threaten us? Is this True Shrimp's real thing? Is that they're trying to, well, unless you're willing to let us poison the water, or pollute it at least to an extent, we're going to move to South Dakota. Fine, move to South Dakota. Good luck. Enjoy their they got Mount Rushmore. Okay, enjoy that. And bikers. Bikers in Mount Rushmore. Bon appetit. Anything else in South Dakota?
Tumbleweeds.
Tumbleweeds. Barren open spaces. Enjoy. Seriously, let them move. Isn't it about damn time we said to these companies, no, you got to clean the water. And for any politician, I don't care what party you're from, any politician that says this is no big deal, here's the challenge I'm going to throw down for you. you don't think this wastewater is bad, then I want you for 3 weeks to drink one large glass of unfiltered wastewater every single day, and we'll see how safe it is. If it's safe, as you insist it is, drink up. 3 weeks, one large glass. And then if you do that and you do not have any health problems and it doesn't seem like you're going to have any issues, heck, I'll probably say I'm sorry, I was wrong. But my gut feeling is, first of all, you won't even drink a teaspoon of this wastewater because you know it's pollution. So let South Dakota have them, for God's sakes. If they're that stupid, and you know, I've been to South Dakota, they seem to do everything in their power to hurt their own citizens over there. Let them do it. And then all of a sudden when they sit there and the Republicans in South Dakota say, "What, can you believe that they poison the water supply and all the fish are dead? Oh, that's a shame." They can act shocked. No, this is not a real rocket science. If they don't want to meet the water quality standards in Minnesota, then don't let them build the plant. And I understand, Laverne, it's tough. But what, some $14 an hour jobs in Laverne, Minnesota are more important than the water quality of the state of Minnesota? Come on. What, a few manager positions? Oh, but, you know, all your regional lakes and rivers are all poisoned or polluted or whatever the deal is with this stuff. Needless to say, it doesn't meet Minnesota standards. I'll post the link to this story here because Sally Joe over at Bluestem does a very good, she actually has a Bucknell University's Environmental Center's glossary of water quality terms and definitions that sum up the issue that basically show you why having this standard is important to have. But I mean, I'm just, so they're going to throw a pity party. I mean, they're going to throw a pity party and demand that we change things. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. Second story on this, United Properties has appealed several of the city's conditions for building Gateway Tower in downtown Minneapolis, including that the future of the proposal is at stake. In a letter to the city dated January 4th, United Properties President Bill Catter and Vice President of Development Rick McKelvey said the company could not proceed with the project as it is without the appeal items being approved, including a reversal of the decision that to disallow a sign for the anchor office tenant RBC Wealth Management to be placed at the top of the tower. Wow, really? And by the way, first of all, okay, let me just call their bluff. This building they're going to develop is on the corner of Washington and Hennepin. Gee willikers, I don't think anyone would want to develop down there. We'd better do what they say. Wait a minute here, it's Washington and Hennepin. No, I think we can get, if they don't want to go by our signage laws, then they can go. I mean, if they're this stupid that this is where they're going to scratch their whole project, that they're going to stop their entire project because of a sign at the top of the building. And by the way, what are you trying to create in Minneapolis? Altered Carbon or Blade Runner? Come on, we don't need signage everywhere. You could do something like the Target building did, which was very creative, that glowing light. You could do something like that, but, you know, Gold Medal Flower, Grain Belt Beer, the other old signs, the institutional signs are one thing, but putting out, you know, a NASCAR-like signage in downtown Minneapolis, if Minneapolis allows this, this is only going to be the beginning. And then when you drive into the downtown, it's going to be McDonald's and Burger King and Coca-Cola everywhere on every one of these buildings. Who the hell is this developer? Veruca Salt Developers? I want it now! Now! Come on! They don't want the sign. It violates the rules. It's got, what is it, 50 feet? The city planners have said the signs aren't allowed at the location higher than 50 feet above the grade, above the street. So it would be one of the 10 tallest buildings in the city. It had 34 floors, habitable space and additional by through the roof. No, don't. Especially think about where this is at. How would you like to be on the north side and you look down and the first thing you see every time you look at one of the prettiest downtowns in the nation is you see a big ad for RBC? No. You can't have ads on all these buildings out there. You can't have ads on all these buildings out there. I mean, it's bad enough that we announce that we allow the placement of these logos all over the sports stadiums. But I mean, you can still have a pretty impressive sign 50 feet above grade. They also have something here. What's the term that they had? There's an access point thing too that they want to have there, and it's an access off the road with plaza space, stuff like that. They a porte cochere, PORTECOCHERE, porte cochere. I'm not sure exactly what the term is. I mean, it kind of describes a drive-through. I don't know why that would be so difficult to do, but maybe, I mean, it's if there's a way to make that happen, to make them happy, fine. But, I mean, come on. I don't think we should. Minneapolis-St. Paul is a gorgeous downtown. And one of the reasons it is gorgeous is we don't have signage everywhere you look in downtown with ads here and Budweiser and this. And yeah, we do have the Grain Belt beer sign, but that's iconic. Yeah, we have the gold medal flower sign, but that's iconic. You know, I think we can kind of get away with telling these people that, you know, if this is their temper tantrum, if this is where they're saying, no, this is our make or break deal, I'm sure you're going to find someone else that would gladly move into that building and be happy with a sign 50 feet off the ground. But don't turn Minneapolis into freaking Blade Runner. I don't need giant naked joys running all over the place. If you haven't seen Blade Runner 49, 2049, it's a pretty good movie. But yeah, I'm not keen on that, nor the big floating blimps. You know, come to Offworld. Yeah, I don't need that. We'll take a break. When we come on back, Alicia Donahue is going to join us from Women's March Minnesota. We'll talk about how things are going for the Women's March Minnesota and any upcoming events coming in for them. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
And I'm so disconnected.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I have to say this next line?
Do you want to sleep inside tonight?
My dad is beloved, world-famous radio broadcaster Matt McNeil.
Perfect!
Anyway, my mom and dad want me safe when I'm driving in winter weather. That's why the vehicle they trust is the Toyota Sienna, and the dealership they trust is Rudy Luther Toyota. They keep me safe.
With my son driving this winter, I trust Rudy Luther, and you can too. Stop in today and become a Rudy Luther Toyota family. The southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Alicia Donahue is on the board of directors, vice chair of Women's March Minnesota. She is kind enough to join us today to talk about that organization, upcoming event here. They got Unstoppable Women's March Minnesota. That is coming up here on the 19th. Alicia, thank you very much. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. You guys have been, you've been on with the other shows. This is my first time having you on the air. Thank you very much for the time.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Hey, that makes one of us. All right. I'm just joking. All right. No, I want to talk with you because not only do you have events coming up here, but I find it to be fascinating that, I'm 50 years old. I have lived through movements before where all of a sudden people are up in arms and people are angry about something and people move forward. And it's usually one or two marches and it kind of goes away. And we have seen in this age, and I think maybe it's a sign of how bad things have really gotten in this country, that the movements that were started, like the Women's March, that they've held on, they're growing, they're becoming stronger. Let's just start off by talking about that, because obviously there's a lot of interest within the organization, but if an organization doesn't kind of, continue to ride that crest, that wave of what is driving people, it can kind of fall by the wayside, and you guys have not had that problem.
No, and I think that really speaks to the climate here in Minnesota, the climate across the nation, and the dedicated activists that showed up January 21st, 2017, and have continued to show up. Mm-hmm. And in the 2 years since the inaugural march, our team of over 200 volunteers and over 20,000 social media followers and email newsletter subscribers have really devoted their time and energy, and we've devoted all of our resources to building a movement worthy of working in solidarity with the many organizations, the ground activists, the nonprofits, the people that have been doing this work for generations. So we really have, focused on educating, activating, and amplifying the work that other organizations are doing.
The education element, I think, is so important. It's when you get someone that walks in the door that says, I want to be part of this, making sure they understand this isn't one march, this isn't one week, this is something until we get some big changes happening, we're going to be continuing this fight until we get the results that we're looking for. Talk about that education element, because you guys have had tremendous success with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we really pride ourselves on being an intersectional organization. We initially came together to declare in solidarity that women's rights are human rights. And we have a platform of, it's now expanded to 10 unity principles that we really are focusing on. Everything from environmental justice to workers' rights, rights for individuals with disabilities. And so it really crosses the spectrum of things that people are worried about and thinking about and wanting to be focused on. We do a lot of community events and direct actions. We write postcards. We hold what used to be called messy conversations, but are really just, daring discussions about looking at the problems that are facing our societies and our communities and helping to educate those who might not be fully aware of the issues that are facing communities. When we haven't experienced it ourselves, it's hard to know. And the reality is, depending on your socioeconomic status, sort of it really impacts what you see in terms of the tragedies that are happening in communities in Minnesota and across the nation. So we've been really fortunate to be able to have these conversations with people, and they're wanting to hear it. They're wanting to know what's happening so they can show up.
And I'll say this too, it terrifies the status quo people. that you know, when they see a large group coming in and they see the protesters and they're not going away and they're being resilient, that scares people into realizing that, you know, that change is coming. And, you know, you can either get out of the way or, you know, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. It's one of those two things. Let's talk a little bit about the walk coming up here, the march coming up here on the 19th. What's the details on that?
Yeah, so we're super excited. The march is going to be, like you said, January 19th, and we're going to start at 10 a.m. at the Western Sculpture Park, Western Sculpture Garden, which is right across from the Sears building. And we're going to follow a similar route as we did in 2017. We're going to march along Marion and then down John Ireland Boulevard. It's almost the exact same distance as it was in 2017. It's less than a mile, but we are inviting people to join us at any point along the route, and whether that's at the Sculpture Garden or you're meeting us at the Capitol for the rally. So we're starting to join at about 10 a.m., and then we're planning to leave the Western Sculpture Garden at 10:30 and then get to the Capitol by noon. We realized in 2017 that we have to give ourselves more time because it took a long time to get everyone to the Capitol. And then the rally will begin at the Capitol at noon.
And what is the main focus of the rally?
Yeah, so it really is twofold, and we've had an incredible advisory board of 15 really well-known activists and community leaders that have helped us guide the vision of what this event will look like. And really what we're hearing from all of our community leaders is that this should be a celebration, right? We have accomplished a lot in the last 2 years. We have had some incredible successes. We've had some fantastic people elected into office, some of whom are, you know, swearing in the next few days, some of whom have already been sworn in. And the second part of it is that the work still needs to continue, that we are not done yet. We have a long way to go. 2020 is just around the corner, and we have to ensure that we are holding all of our elected officials to protect our progressive values and to get new people into office who are going to uphold those values.
Obviously you have a lot of sponsors, a lot of support. Putting on an event like this, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, I imagine you got a lot of great sponsors that are helping you out with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be announcing over the next couple of days more of our sponsors and endorsers, but we're really excited to announce that Education Minnesota has signed on as a visionary sponsor, which comes with a large, you know, financial donation to help us support this event and to help us secure the staging and the sound, so that way the incredible speakers that we'll have that will be sharing their stories and talking about their activism work and their lived experiences, that they'll be able to reach the audience. So we're super excited about Education Minnesota signing on as a visionary sponsor. We also have sponsorships and endorsements with RISE, Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood of Empowerment. They're actually on our advisory board as well, which is incredible. Survivors Lead. I could go on.
Well, and we were running out of time. Unfortunately, we won't be able to go on, but I'll drive people to the website. Once again, the walk is going to be on the 19th, 10 a.m. They start it. If someone wants to find out more information, where's the website at right now?
Women'sMarchMN.com.
Women'sMarchMN.com. Alicia Donahue, thank you very much. And by the way, come back anytime on my show. I'd love to have you back, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Alicia. Thank you for being with us today. Doug up next? Yeah, Doug didn't get to go to the governor's reception. No, that's Hunter. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.